All right, welcome back, guys. This is K-Pop Fighting. This is co-host TYB.
And this is the co-host Goon.
Yeah, we'll keep going. We want to finish off the Dynamic Duo. So last time we were talking about Dynamic Duo.
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the problem was, especially with their first couple albums, the label was too pressured, I heard, actually.
Uh-huh.
They were, like, too controlling and everything. I mean, they were not bad music label, but they were so 90s music label, you know, they were old.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, actually, old, getting old mind is pretty much equal bad, actually, but still, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were having a problem. So for their third album, they made rewritten resume because they wanted to start off again. So
mm-hmm.
they made their own album, Amoeba Culture.
Which is really bold because,
yeah.
you know, like ever since the start of Dynamic Duo, they got betrayed by their old collaborator.
Yep, yep.
So, like, they basically started off with no money at all. Just, you know, with their friendship and, like, with their people around them.
Yeah.
And, again, they, you know, came by another roadblock. And then they start again. Yeah, which is pretty crazy, man. I really love that song. Especially how they, like, talk about, like, oh, yeah, the we started off as three, but you know, two is better than three, and like that's how it all ends, right?
Yep.
That is a really good bar.
Yeah, two is better than three. That album is crazy. And after that, like they dropped like the mother's doenjang soup, that and all those crazy shit. Actually, those are
classic.
Actually, it's like when you think of like what would be like a good example of Korean hip hop. You know, like it's hip hop. But still very Korean, very authentic and very natural.
Mm-hmm.
Would definitely someone would say 어머니의 된장국, 어머니's mother's 된장 soup. That's like crazy. It's like
for sure, man.
It's like so realistic, and you know, every Korean has like a sentimental feeling about mother's like a 된장 soup or kimchi soup and everything. And the rap they dropped, it's so natural. It's just crazy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's hip hop. With the Roddy's hook and everything.
And the way they portray themselves, which is pretty bold, and they are not afraid to, you know, challenge themselves into new areas. That I if somebody tells me, like, that's not hip-hop, like, what is hip-hop, man?
I mean,
like, Dynamic Duo's works are the living example for that.
I mean, Dynamic Duo was like not as like attacked as Epic High or other guys or Lee Sang, but still they were attacked a little bit because their music is very pop oriented.
Yep,
very mass appeal. Like, you know, Guilty.
Uh huh.
It has like a crazy hook vocal by Gekko. It's like one of the probably best vocal ever performed by Gekko, the rapper.
Yeah,
actually.
It was almost like an R&B singer level.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy, but like. Some would ask, is it hip-hop? But, like, I mean, back then it was a fighting, but come to think of it now, who cares? I mean, after Kanye West and Drake and Common. And even back then, I listened to hip-hop. And whenever I listened to hip-hop, I started listening to, like, you know, Common or Jay-Z. And Jay-Z's biggest hit is not now, but before. Like Empire State of Mind,
or
Crazy in Love.
For sure.
Or Umbrella. I mean, Umbrella is Jay-Z's hit. I don't know, but still, like those Umbrella's kind of songs.
Rihanna.
Yeah, but you know, it starts out with like Jay-Z's crazy rap. It's like, it's like basically a longer version of J.I.P. say
for,
J.I.P.
Yeah. For sure.
But my point is, even in America, Jay-Z's most popular bars are from Empire State of Mind, which is pretty much pop rap, actually. Mm-hmm. Or the biggest hit of Common is basically the light or that kind of, you know, very R&B song. So I can get it. Like, sure, hip-hop is can be very strong and very hardcore, but I mean, Dynamic Duo were very authentic, and that's the music that they like to do. So
like, who are we to judge them?
Yeah, I mean, their music is very natural. So after that, they made like crazy good music like Guilty or those like great music. So like after that, like they had some up and downs, but like honestly their music was pretty good actually, like overall. Like I don't see like any time they had like a bad, I can't remember them having like a bad mood or anything. Anything like you want to talk about after like their fourth, fifth album?
Yeah, like there were a lot of hit songs at that time, like, you know,
거기서 거기.
Yeah,
Without
or
You, yeah.
A little bit later, but like Butan and Gamera.
Oh, that was a great song. Yeah,
which was also a very, very, very successful party anthem,
mm-hmm.
you know, which literally means Friday on fire.
Yep, yep, yep. Or Bam.
Bam. By oh,
Muzi.
Yeah.
That was a
Bam.
Crazy song.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a hook was made by Muzi or something, I think.
Yeah.
That was a crazy hit, actually.
So that is the same reason why I loved the Ameba Music signee Supreme team. You know, Ameba is, you know, Dynamic Duo's label.
Yep, yep.
Which is a label that they founded. And Supreme team, looking back, like, which was a legendary, you know, lineup, Simon D and E-Sense.
Oh, man, yeah.
They also really, you know, carried the same vibe that Dynamic Duo carried,
mm-hmm.
but in a more, like, I guess, more mainstream way.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, again broke the barrier in a mainstream way. And me growing up, I was, like, 6, 7 at the time when they came out. I listened, like, I sang their songs, for example, like, Laura, like, that song, or, Kitten.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, and which is very, you know, Double D style,
yep,
which
yep.
is very Ameba style.
Yeah.
So
after that, I remember, like, you know, I think hip hop was one of the reason why K-pop became so popular.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It has R&B and hip-hop vibe in it.
Yeah.
Still pop, but
mm-hmm.
but I think maybe culture contributed to it, like many things you did. And after that,
mm-hmm.
the hip-hop became like the hottest genre in Korea for the 2010s. And one of the starting point, of course, Show Me the Money and everything,
mm-hmm.
Big Bang. But one of the other reason why was the primary album, the first primary album.
Yep.
With the Zai and T and Gekko and Cheja and everyone. And even Minzino, E-Sense. Yeah. All the
Palo
stars.
Palo Alto.
Yeah. Palo Alto. Yeah. All those stars were in that album. And that primary's first album became like a pop hit. It was like almost like a Big Bang level hit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then the See-Through, of course, was like the cream of the crop of
yeah.
the album.
Which made them like break through the Korean music industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They became like one of the biggest star in K-pop, actually.
Yeah, like at that time period, Benzino came on Infinite Challenge.
Yep, yep, yep.
Primary was literally the producer for, you know, Park Myung-soo in Infinite Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
They were like at the top now. So
yeah.
It was at the top. Of course, they're still, but that time, they like kind of got the peak. And honestly, ever since that era, now in Korea, not in America, but in Korea, we're talking about, Dynamic Duo kind of reached the top point of like achieved everything that hip hop star can do within
yeah.
Korea.
Yeah.
Because like Cheja once said that we did everything we could do in Korea. That's what he said. He's like, everyone who is preparing to listen to sort of hip hop knows us. There's no, like, there's not a single person who doesn't know us.
Yeah.
So, like, he said, we can't grow further in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
I mean, literally, like, the end of the year K-pop ceremonies that the, you know, Korean stations do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that one thing, one cipher that Tableau, that Epic High collaborated with, you know, Simon D,
collaborated
with Dynamic Duo?
That was crazy.
Like, I think that just like explains a lot about the Korean hip hop back then, because that was literally the, you know, cherry on top of the whole, you know, ceremony.
Yeah.
And which is like 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
In like an hour and a half show.
And that was at the center.
Yeah. Which is literally the 1/10 of the show.
Yep, yep.
Was about Korean hip hop back then.
And that's what the show was remembered after the show, actually. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, after those heydays, they didn't have like a hiatus or anything, because they always were appeared on the festival and everything.
Uh-huh.
But they had like a more so like a, it was not as shiny as before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They dropped album, but it wasn't as got attention uh-huh. as much. But Gekko did crazy solo albums a couple times.
Yep.
Chaeja made one solo album, too, was pretty mm-hmm. good, actually.
Yeah, it was.
And Chaeja became like a mukbang YouTuber with mm-hmm. The Chaeja Road.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy because he was actually certified.
Yeah.
His taste in food is actually, you know, certified and reliable. Mm-hmm. And he kind of made another career off of that.
Yeah, yeah. He...
Like a blogger.
He's like a rapper / food blogger, basically. Yeah, right,
like... Which is pretty crazy, bro.
It's kind of like a Joey Badass or stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
Or like, you know, like how 50 Cent... Like,
yeah.
Who was like a part-time rapper, a full-time businessman type of stuff.
Or Common, yeah. Common is an actor / rapper, right?
Yeah.
He even spit it in his album. So, mm-hmm. Or The Roots hip-hop band and / show band.
Yeah, kind of like that.
So they just do it. He does that and that. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. And like... They were low key for a while, and maybe they were thinking they would just grow old like that. But
yeah,
that definitely did not happen.
Because
last year the I can't even pronounce it again.
AIO
became like a TikTok pop song or something,
which was like on the charts basically.
Yeah. When the song dropped 10 years ago, we knew like no one cared about it.
I mean, even it was, like, produced by Primo.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yeah, I mean, who knows Primo back then? Like, and it was, like, not even just a song. It was, like, a collaboration album or stuff.
Yeah.
A giant step. But after 10 years, the song just became a pop song.
Life came in full circles,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you don't know when to... We call it, like, a 역주행, like a reverse hit. But after 10 years, that's crazy.
How does that even happen?
Imagine that, like, you drop a song right now, like, Pseudo.
Yeah.
And then when you're 30, it became, like, a pop song.
I was literally 19 when I made that song.
Can you imagine?
Now I'm 29. What the heck?
Yeah, what the heck? That's, like, crazy, man. Like, you don't know what happened.
Exactly.
That's crazy. So that's how it happened. And then also the smoke, of course.
Yeah. Smoke, you know. Which was like the OST, the soundtrack for Street Woman Fighter season 2.
Yep.
And the dance itself was very viral.
Mm-hmm.
And the song, you know, was super addictive and super viral as well. And Gekko's signature of, you know, hook, the first 8 bars, was very addictive.
It's ironic because Ameba used to be really big.
Yeah.
Now they're not as big, right? With the Crush gone, Giantee gone, and of course the Supreme Team gone. But they still have a talent because those young generation asked them to do Smoke, actually. Because, they're older Dynamic Duo, right? And then Chaeja told that actually they wanted to drop it because it was too hurried. But then the staffs were like, please, believe us. And then now they say they're kneeled by the staff members now. That's what they say.
Because
that's kind of what made them coming back.
Yeah. I mean, which is pretty crazy because if those two projects wasn't a thing, if Dynamic Duo came out with an album, like we might have like reacted like, oh, wow, 10th studio album. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But... with those momentum,
yeah,
like they didn't even intend it to be a marketing strategy.
No,
that happened for them.
Yeah,
and you know, very naturally, their album came out.
Yeah,
and their like final, installment of the project came out.
Yeah,
which was super successful.
Yeah, and that's crazy. Yeah,
and you know, it might have been like a matter of luck, but their album was pretty good as well.
Yeah,
so
pretty good actually.
It was really good. So
yeah,
I was very surprised.
To me, it was very shocking, but also very interesting because they've done like 20 years of work.
Yeah.
And like even their earliest works are still very, you know, listenable. It's very good actually.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So like, it's like the way how you actually approach your work. I like the Murakami Haruki, the novelist.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about what the creativity is. And he said creativity is, like, of course, quality, good quality, but also good quantity. mm-hmm. he said. So that's what he, this is what he, and then all the third part was the relationship, which mm-hmm. means many people should actually use it. Like, it should be like a reference to the future workers. So like for Beatles, he made an example. I mean, he's an old man. I mean, so he made an example of Beatles. He said, mm-hmm. Beatles, even from the start, was shockingly good music.
Yeah,
but also
course.
They have a super discography. Like, they didn't, actually, they didn't work for like, they didn't work for like that long. Actually, they disbanded so early. Actually,
they only had like
six to seven years. Not even 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very short amount of time, and they made so many albums,
which is crazy.
Yeah, and all those albums are like very historical, especially after like certain like Help or something. Yeah. All the albums are like a legendary actually.
And that is the span of time between The College Dropout and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like,
crazy, man. Yeah.
I mean, Kanye is also legendary.
One of the legendary,
But you know, the Beatles, like.
That's crazy.
That is like just insane work.
That's crazy. And then the last, the most important part is it was quoted or referenced by so many future artists. Like the Helter Skelter became the heavy metal and everything. And it's same with Kanye, because even from right now, many of Kanye's older works are like revisited by the because of the newer artists.
Yeah.
Like Gorgeous coming back whenever Kid Cudi comes. It just happens.
Yeah, and the younger generation artists like grew up listening to Ye, so we kind of emulate Ye's music in our music. I mean, even me myself. So but I don't think that is like just the only case. I think Dynamic Duo
is like
the same effect that is going on.
Yeah, like with the Crush,
yeah,
Primary, and all those works that he did for 20 years and like so many discographies. So that's the reason why it happens, you know.
Yeah.
He made such a big amount of good quality music.
Yeah.
That's why they can come back so
and
soon.
Just like, just see how their DNA is implanted in Korean hip hop right now.
Yeah.
Just like their, I don't want to say pupil, but their pupils, for example, like Simon D.
Yeah.
He founded AOMG with Jay Park.
Yep.
Zion T, just like Zion T, Crush, Essence.
Yeah, or even Benzino. Like, his first successful, like, super successful album starts with Dynamic Duo, Nike Shoes.
Yeah.
That's the, like...
With the both of them.
Yeah, that's the start. That's, like, the beginning of the history, basically.
Yeah.
And it ends with the Always Awake. That's, like, a legendary EP, actually. That's the starting point of Benzino. Of course, there was Jazz Effect, but still.
Yeah.
It's, like... Every time, like, they made such a big history in so many black music in Korea, even K-pop. So it's kind of
so
crazy.
It is impossible to speak about Korean hip-hop history without them.
Yeah. That's the reason why. It's just like, you know, Life of Pablo by Kanye was like sort of awkward to me when I first listened to it. But now with so many artists coping with it, now it's like, I listen to them, now I get it, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of same with Dynamic Duo, I guess. It just, like, always made sense, and now I listen to their older works. It all is linked with, like, so many, like, the younger artists.
Yeah,
you know?
And sonically also.
Yep, yep.
We can say that it influenced a lot of music here and there.
A lot of them, actually, yeah. Why don't we end with, like, you see, right now, American hip-hop is, like, filled with the beef, right?
Oh, man, which is really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I'm rooting for Drake right now.
Oh.
Because his diss track was crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's we had a lot of fun. But Korea, you know, had that moment, the control...
For sure.
...incident. And that's one of the tipping point of when, like, every Korean mass... attention was into hip-hop.
Uh-huh.
And
which was on the news.
Yeah. I think it was sort of like a swings, right? Did all those diss with the control beat. Ironically, it's Kendrick Lamar. I mean, it's like everywhere. I mean,
K-Dot.
Yeah, he did just dissed everything. So just like K-Dot, swings basically dissed so many people.
Yeah.
Especially Simon D.
Yeah, to basically bring up the competition, competitive spirit.
Yeah.
But which kind of went left ever since...
Yeah.
the one and only E-Sense.
Yeah.
Name dropped Gecko on his diss.
Yeah, on his diss. And then the Gecko dropped his beat to E-Sense. And actually, Swings and the Simon D were the starting point, but like sonically, Gecko and E-Sense.
That was the main event.
That was like the champion event. But it was basically like a Joe Johns level of crazy fighting, basically.
That was like, you know, like Makachev and that other dude in UFC.
Yeah, yeah. It was
the like heavyweight main championship.
Yeah. It was like a legend battle between those two. It was like a legend battle. And, and that's how, like, and even after decades, literally, when we think of who are like a great, the best rapper, we probably would say E-Sense and Gecko, actually.
Yeah.
Like, historically, yeah.
Even now.
Even
like,
now.
That happened 11 years ago.
Yeah.
But even now, E-Sense and Gecko are in the GOAT conversation.
Yeah. Probably the best rapper even right now. Yeah. So that's crazy. And that's how, like, they, it's like, whenever, so after, like, what, 40 minutes of discussion, we can kind of point out that, like, almost dynamic duo were, like, almost like one of the representation of hip hop for like 20 years, basically, 25 years. So that's, come to think of it, that's crazy. Yeah. And they're still out there making their own music. And right now, what's crazy is, I saw Chaeja on the Korean YouTube, and what was surprising to me was, to me, Chaeja for like last couple, 3-4 years was more like a food mukbang YouTuber.
Yeah.
But now, still he's mukbang YouTuber, but still was very exciting about music, actually. And he said it's because of global fans.
Ooh.
And he was like, and now I can, now I understand why Chaeja was so like not ambivalent about music. He's like, so if we do try hard, we can't reach more audience, you know what I mean? And they have too many hit songs anyway.
Yeah,
it's hard to do the hengsa anyway. It's hard to cut the hit song anyway.
Yeah.
Does he really need more hit song? Like,
mm-hmm.
probably. I mean, but still, you know, honestly,
yeah.
I mean, as a worker, it's understandable, right? As an artist, it's shame, but could be shame.
Probably, yeah.
But, I mean, it's understandable as a human being, right? Do I need more hit song? I mean, I have, like, only 20, man. I mean, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But after the global fans, he's like, his love for, it seems like his love for hip-hop and music just grows back. He's
for
like,
the sake of legacy.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, now they have like a, what, 1,000 audience in the little live hall, you know, in America or Australia or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's like, he can try hard to get maybe 100 more people. You know what I mean? So like, he's genuinely excited about this like new momentum. It's like, and so like, ironically, it seems like Gecko and Chaeja are getting even closer, because now now Chaeja is caring more about the music and
after
everything.
All this time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Now it's crazy. So like, so I'm glad that they're coming back, and with the, I'm really curious about their world tour, because they say they're gonna do the world tour, and their new album's title song is, the cutting single is pizza, pasta, taco, which are like three global food.
the most commonly found food in the world, right?
yeah and they want to be like that, you know. They want to be global.
They want to be like the pizza of global music.
Yeah, so that's crazy, come to think of it. And actually, I mean, I'm really excited to see them after 25 years, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
So is there anything else you want to talk about as a musician?
As a musician, it is a dream to work with Gecko or Chaeja.
Oh man.
So I mean, I will try my best to, you know, be able to live that moment.
I mean, it's not just that they have to say yes, but also they will, you know, murder you with the bars, you know what
yeah
I mean? So
and
you have to have a certain charisma.
At the same time, like, if they decide to work with me, that means that I gained the respect from my childhood heroes. So that is my dream.
Oh, that will happen soon, man. So like, that's very great episode, actually. I didn't even think much about it, because like, dynamic duo for us is like a, they're like an oxygen, you know, like they're just they've been here like every time.
They're just like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, basically. They're just there, you know. It's like, it's like a, what should I say, like American Idol or something. It's just there, you know. But now, like, the more we talk about it, the more meaningful they are to us, the more we realize. So it was a really good episode. So
yeah,
it was a great episode. Hopefully you feel the same, and you guys can check the older works. Their older works are all great. So
yeah,
I recommend those too.
Same.
Sounds great. So yeah, that's all we got today. So until next time, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.